Don't engage alone. We do this together.
Somebody clip this one.
Welcome to Under Two Caves, the premier podcast of Comics League. I'm Jared. I'm here with Nick from the Phoenix Press. What's up, dude?
Oh, you know, I feel like ranking some stuff, you know?
Exactly. So today for this episode, since we're approaching, as far as we know, air quotes, the end of the DCEU, I still don't, unless Netflix gets involved, hint, hint. We're going to
hashtag restore the Snyderverse.
Yep. We're going to do a tier list of DCEU movies up until Aquaman. Obviously, we can't do Aquaman 2 because it hasn't come out yet. So we don't know if it's good or not. So we're going to do this. So I found this dope tier list and we're going to fill it out. So the way I figured we'd structure this is that we'll discuss each movie.
Oh, I love this website.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll discuss each movie where we think it goes in, and maybe we can even have a debate or two on where we think it goes.
Okay, right off the bat, Jared,
we're doing this in order.
No,
Nick,
no, we both know one movie has to get S tier.
Yes, we know, but no, we're doing this in order. We have to do this in order.
But come on, like, we both know.
I know, but that'll be a short conversation when we get to there. So, Man of Steel,
A tier.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. I know we have some disagreements on certain scenes in the movie, but for what it was intended to do, i.e. modernize the Superman IP, I think it did a fantastic job.
Very much agreed. I think it's a great movie. It has some very distinct flaws. Personally, I think the tornado scene is really stupid. I don't agree with, like, the I don't know scene. I think that scene has a lot more nuance than people are giving it credit for. But mm-hmm. The tornado scene, I do agree with some of the critics.
And fun fact, Man of Steel may have inspired a certain project that I'm working on with Britt. More on that if you watch Super Wonder Legacy. All right. And when we get to BVS, we're going to assume they mean the Ultimate Edition. We're just going to assume that.
But I'm just going to say this right now. The regular edition would be C tier.
Regular edition would definitely be C tier. Absolutely. It's still a good movie, but it's like, meh. But, okay, so let's do this. Ultimate Edition. What do you think?
You don't have pluses on here. I'd put it at a B plus tier, but you don't have those in-between tiers.
Really? Why a B?
I like it. It just does have some glaring flaws. Like Martha...
Okay, we're going to disagree on that one, but
that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And just in general, it's a good movie. I think them rushing to that like thing, Batman should have had his own movie before this.
Yep.
I mean, obviously I'm judging it by factors outside of the movie, but even as a movie in and of itself, it's good, but Man of Steel is just better. I put it at B+, but since we don't have a plus tier, I'm just going to give it an A just to be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I would put it in S tier were it not for the fact that they crammed a lot into the movie. What they crammed in was good. It's just they crammed. That's the problem.
Yeah, but BVS was, it was, but like the whole like introducing the rest of it in a scene, which, okay, that would have worked as a post-credit scene.
Post-credit, exactly. It would have worked as a post-credit.
And, but like even then, you're just kind of rushing things. Like, I mean, it's a perfect post credit scene. Like,
yeah.
Like even just having that scene verbatim as a post credit scene, you know, and then setting up the rest of the movies would have been great.
Yeah,
but Batman should have had his own movie.
Because you wouldn't have had the, is she with you? I thought she was with you. She sent you an email 2 minutes ago, criticism that scene always gets.
So basically my Batman movie would end right where BVS begins. Even it comes out after Man of Steel, like takes place before it. And it takes kind of parallel to the events of Man of Steel, but he's still doing his own thing. And it ends with that final scene.
Yeah. So, and by the way, I just changed the last thing from haven't watched to utter crap. So we're going to put the worst DCU movies at the very bottom of the list. So, yeah, so I agree on that one. So Suicide Squad.
I would put it at a C+ here, but I say keep it at C because it's not the worst thing ever, but it's very vanilla. Like,
well, hopefully we get the air cut.
I was literally about to launch into a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need the air cut. It's kind of funny with the DCEU. We just need more of the directors. It's kind of interesting how that works. But so in terms of Wonder Woman.
That is A tier.
I mean, I was going to put in S.
S is for the very best, and I'm going to be honest with you. There's really only two movies on here I'd put in S tier. One of them is obvious.
Very obvious, yeah, I know. All right, I'll put in A. It's a pretty good one.
I'd put it as A+, but not quite S. S is like GOAT. Like, yeah, there's no flaws, and there are some flaws of that movie.
Like the ending where it would have been cool if they just ended it where, okay, so she kills Ares, but humanity still goes to war because it's humanity.
Because, like, that speech that Steve Trevor does is beautiful. And then it instantly gets undermined. But, like, I was here, Diana, this whole time manipulating from, like, why did you have that big speech if you're just going to undermine it right away?
And fun fact, the ending we just came up with was Patty Jenkins' original ending because she was very clear that, like, Warner Brothers came in at the last second and told her to add that battle at the end.
Yeah, and that battle just reeks of 2010 CG fight, you know?
Yeah, kind of. All right. Aquaman.
S tier.
S tier, yes, yes. Thank you. That was dope. And by
I'm just going to say S minus. Because of the co-star, but yeah, still S tier.
Since we are flying through these quick, what we'll do is as soon as we're done with them, we'll discuss them in more detail. Right now, we're just outlining them. So yeah, I mean, I agree with you because Aquaman is dope. It takes a lot to be able to change the public's perception of a character, and that movie, plus, honestly, both versions of Justice League, contributed to making Aquaman more of a character people take seriously, kind of combined with the Geoff Johns comic book run.
Yeah. The next movie might get a little controversial. D.
I'm sorry, because of everything that happened at the Justice League goes in D and not utter crap.
It's a bad movie. But it's not like the worst movie ever, okay?
Have you seen it? We did a watch party.
I saw it in theaters. I watched it in theaters. Like, okay, the actual version of the movie is infinitely, objectively better. But this version is kind of like, if you're like really drunk, really high, or just kind of an idiot, you can derive some enjoyment from it.
It is not
fine. Pull your executive.
Wonder rank. Woman, Flash falling into one. There was too many scenes where I'm like Batman going, something
guys,
is definitely
Jared
leading.
Is pulling an executive decision. I have no part in this. So
yes, I am, and I don't think anyone's going to disagree with me. Shazam. Honestly,
okay. The first Shazam beat here.
B tier. I was about to say B tier because it's not, it's above average, absolutely. It has its flaws. It's not A tier whatsoever, but it's definitely up there with a movie that if it's on TV, I'll watch it definitely.
Yeah, like it's enjoyable. It's got enjoyable themes. Like, it's a decent enough quality movie.
Black Adam.
C tier.
Yeah, I agree because, all right.
This maybe movie... C plus, but mm-hmm. not B.
This movie contradicts its own logic many times in the movie. Like when Hawkman fights Black Adam and he goes, we don't kill. And then Dr. Fate shows up and goes, surrender or die. What?
Yeah, I mean, the movie just reeks of reshoots and poorly edited sequences. Like they forgot, like, oh, wait, we did a reshoot with this and we're editing. Like nobody caught it in the reshoot, in the editing duvet.
That kid on the skateboard was so annoying.
And honestly, The Rock's performance was just not good. He just he's a good actor. It's just I think he's gotten so used to playing The Rock. Like if you look at his films like pre late 2010s,
yeah,
he's actually an actor. But after a while, he just starts playing himself. Like look at his performance in Fast Five, and look at him now. It's like two different characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was one ish. I think he played a pretty good Black Adam. It's just the other stuff surrounding it was kind of like...
It was better. No, the Justice Society, I love them.
Yeah, I wish we got a JSA movie, but that's just me. Probably you too, but that's just me. The Suicide Squad.
Utter crap.
Utter crap, yeah. I agree, because here's the thing. I get what James Gunn was going for. The problem with it, this is my problem with putting too much swearing and making this an R-rated movie because, yeah, R-rating works for Suicide Squad. It's just it was too vulgar to the point it was too overindulgent, I think. What do you think?
I love how when this movie came out, everyone's like, oh, this is so much better than the first movie. But, like, slowly but surely, it's like, you're like, oh, wait, the first movie is actually better. Like, you notice how, like, people are starting to come around.
It's top five on Netflix right now.
Because let's kind of be honest, Suicide Squad was actually a bit of a hit, like when it came out, and the soundtrack. Really,
it still made money. And by the way, that's another movie
that won an Oscar.
Yeah, that's another movie that if it's on or like I see it on Max or Netflix, I'll watch it.
It's enjoyable. Like it's kind of like it's a little bit of so bad it's good in a way. Like it's so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's like. Okay, like, it's just enjoyable watching how ridiculous this movie is.
However, the James Gunn one, there's too much there's too much James Gunn-isms for me to get into it.
The thing about Suicide Squad is, the movie kind of walks that tightrope of, it knows it's ridiculous, but it's not winking at the camera. Because so many movies, like, we know ridiculous, you know, they kind of like to wink at the camera. This film knows it's ridiculous and embraces it, but it just stops right short of winking at the camera, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the James Gunn Suicide Squad movie.
I'm talking about the air version.
Yeah, but this is what we just essentially rated the James Gunn version.
Yeah, I'm just saying how much the original version's better.
Oh yeah, yeah, I still enjoy it, but with the James Gunn version, again, it's like too overly indulgent. Which this movie made me concerned for Superman as soon as I found out that Gunn was going to direct it and write it, because I'm like, honestly, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Even though I'm pretty sure James Gunn is not going to go full R-rated with Superman, it's going to be enough that it's going to be very cringe because this was full of cringe humor.
This next one, is there a tier lower than utter crap?
Okay. I put it there purely. There are many reasons why I put Birds of Prey in that direction. Number one is Cassandra Cain. And I was like, no. And okay, so you have Black Canary. She's the only member of the Birds of Prey that has any metahuman abilities. She has her sonic scream. There are like 10 different like scenarios in the movie when that sonic scream would come in handy. They only use it once and it knocks her out. Yeah, exactly. But Nick, what did you think of Birds of Prey? Besides the horrible title that they had to shorten for movie marquee.
Well, since I don't have access to the drop, I'm just going to reenact it. Crap, 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 mega crap.
Yeah, it's just... And the sad part is, like, guess what? They have the female empowerment movie. They have the model right here. Wonder Woman was the model right there.
And you know what? Both men and women love that movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's one of my favorite DC movies, like, that made me a big Wonder Woman
even
fan.
Even the DC haters would be like, okay, yeah, Wonder Woman's good.
Yeah, because it didn't make the men look like idiots. This movie did.
Yeah.
Same thing with it's my same issue with Captain Marvel, and it's just like, huh. But see, and then the worst part is that the excuses that people try to apply to Birds of Prey, like they try to do the COVID thing, but it came out like a month or two before the lockdowns hit. So that goes right out the window. And then they did the whole, but men don't want to see a female action-led superhero movie. And then all of us were like, Wonder Woman.
Well, okay. You want to know how, like, so this is like, you want to know how bullcrap that excuse is? Hey, Jared, do you want to know the largest demographic for the Marvels was?
Men.
White men was like 75% of the people that saw the Marvels. So you can't blame men for not showing up for Captain Marvel. They showed up and it still failed.
Yeah, it's just maybe women don't want to be pandered to, and maybe, just maybe, men are the majority audience for comic book movies. I know it's a shocker.
I mean, that's
right?
A whole different discussion.
But that's the point. The point is, it was a very disappointing movie, and that's another one where it didn't need the R rating, I felt.
Yeah. Yeah, Blue Beetle's a bit of a conundrum because...
Blue Beetle, yeah.
So the difference between a good movie and a great movie is, do I feel something? Like, does it make me feel emotions? Shazam does. But the thing is, Blue Beetle doesn't, but I it's hard for me to put it in the C tier next to Suicide Squad and Black Adam, because Blue Beetle is a bit of a cut above those.
And that suit alone, dude.
So if you put it in C tier, can you rank it at the top of C tier at least?
I'll tell you what, I can put it here. Like, it's the first in C, and for the purpose of this discussion, whatever is like here is like the first row is the pluses. Let's say that.
So yes, Blue Beetle would be a C plus or a B minus. Like it's you know, I didn't, you know.
Yeah, it's very good. It's enjoyable. Again, it's another movie that if it's on TV, I'll watch it, because the suit's awesome. The VFX look actually pretty good in comparison to a lot of other movies on this list that we will get to in a second.
And the family, the thing that really attracts for me is I saw this movie recently and it was fine, but like the family at first, all they did was just scream at each other. It was like really like, but as the movie progressed and as it got to the finale, I actually liked them a lot more. Like the revolutionary grandma, like when she undid her hair and the pigtails.
And she has the minigun, and they ask her, how do you know how to use that? There's a lot you don't know about your grandma.
Like they said, oh, she's a former Mexican revolutionary. That's all you needed to know. That's shorthand for like, okay, she did some really crazy stuff. You know, like
now,
and I bought it.
Let me ask you this, as someone that was very critical of the trailers. Did the Batman's a fascist line really ruin the movie?
Okay. Let me kind of explain why that line put me off the movie. In the movie, it's literally 1 second and then the rest
done.
Of it is. But in the trailer, they put it as the post-title stinger, which is like the last thing of the trailer. That is a very important scene. So the fact that they put it there, to me, showed like they wanted people to see that, and I felt insulted by that. So I still stand by that it ruined the movie, but it's more so because of how they placed it in the trailer rather than the line itself. Like, yeah, the line's stupid.
It pissed
but it's
me
overdone
off
with.
Because when you combine it with the director's comments, because the director is very anti-capitalist and all that stuff, and I get it. And then,
and yet he's doing a Hollywood movie.
And then he's doing a Hollywood movie about a very capital, in a extremely capitalistic portion of Hollywood, which is superhero movies. And I'm
now,
like,
granted, the movie itself does have anti-capitalist messages, but I feel like the movie handles them with at least some degree of tact.
Some.
But at the same time, the movie is pro-corporation, because the thing is, what the movie says is, oh, bad corporations are bad, but good corporations can help everybody, which is a fair message. I agree with that message, but it's kind of ironic that there's a pro-capitalist, like, because Jenny Cord is the savior. She's the one who, like, literally digged him out of that stuff.
She's a good capitalist. All right.
And a rather attractive one, too, mind you.
This one's going to be down. Peacemaker.
I actually haven't seen Peacemaker, so I'm recusing myself from this discussion because I have not actually seen it, so I have no room to judge. So it's all you, brother.
Utter crap. It's in crap minus. Because, I have no objection. It's the same issue I had with James Gunn's Suicide. It's basically the sequel to James Gunn's Suicide Squad, so it's more that. And it's just, you want to listen to Peacemaker badmouth the Justice League for 5 episodes? And I get he's supposed to, he represents those people perpetually on the internet that believe everything they read on the internet. I get that. I just don't like it. It's really stupid. And then they revert back to the Aquaman fish joke. And they repeat that.
In very poor taste.
It's so stupid. And I'm like, at this point, when this show first came out, I only watched the first episode because it completely turned me off. Then I decided, okay, in the interest of being consistent, because I do believe that people should give Zach's whole story the light and judge it as a whole. So I said, okay, you know what? I'll watch the rest of the episodes. Didn't get any better. I was like,
see, my frustration with James Gunn is he is perfectly capable of doing good stuff.
Guardians
of the Galaxy. He wrote Scooby-Doo, you know, the first Scooby-Doo movie, which I really do enjoy that movie.
Like, me too. He knows how to do it. He just intentionally doesn't.
Yeah, like the whole swear word, potty mouth. I'm sorry, that's not mature. That is juvenile.
And they have a whole joke where Peacemaker and Vigilante are making fart noises with their mouths at people. I'm like, well, what the hell?
You
want to
know the difference? Like, and swearing is not inherently immature. Watch any gangster movie. They cuss like a
sailor.
Watch
the Snyder Cut. They drop F-bombs in that one.
Yeah, but like watch like Goodfellas or any other like gangster movie. They swear more than James Gunn's movies, but they do it in a way that it feels more mature.
Plus, watch any like military movie. It makes sense because of the situation those guys are in.
Even South Park does like handle swear words better than James Gunn, which is saying something.
And that's the thing. It's become a crutch for James Gunn. And that's why I think I'm going to make a prediction. Superman Legacy, there's going to be one character dropping, because in a PG-13 movie, you are allowed one F-bomb. And by the way, he had it in Guardians 3. And that was that's known as the first Marvel movie where they drop an F-bomb.
I'm a little bit like, I don't mind that as much because it's the last Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Like, it's like,
and it's just
okay,
one.
Fine.
It's just one. That's why I was like, it's shocking, but I'm like, okay. With Peacemaker and the Suicide Squad, it was one after practically every single word, and they killed off my favorite characters from the Suicide Squad, like Rick Flag, Captain Boomerang. And I was like, you know what? If you're going to take away what I like, I'm not going to watch this. And you know what's kind of funny? Peacemaker was one of the shows that was being held up. Oh my gosh, this got viewed so many times. Then it was revealed that HBO Max inflated its numbers. Yeah, there you go.
Can we get a second Warner Brothers, please?
Yes, we can. I'm going to make an executive decision. We are doing that.
Yeah, second Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
We had to.
It's just so dumb. All right, Shazam Fury of the Gods. Did you watch this one?
Yes, I would put that as a C tier. It's not the worst movie ever. I'm sure if I were to rewatch it again, because I didn't know much about Rachel Zegler before this, but like having her in, like, it's like seeing a film with Amber Heard in it. You see it and go, and it instantly kind of degrades it. So rewatching it would be kind of weird watching her in that. But the movie's not terrible.
It's kind of funny how they deliberately spoiled the Wonder Woman cameo and the director didn't even know it because they were that not confident in the movie being able to pull people.
And the cameo really isn't even that good. Like, you can tell Gal was just there to catch a paycheck.
And she wasn't even face-to-face with Zachary Levi. The way I would have done this if I were making that movie, because it's Fury of the Gods, here's how you get that pull. I would have made it a Wonder Woman Shazam team-up. You could still have like him like hitting on her for because he's like a 12-year-old kid and well not 12-year-old, but the point is he's a kid and he's with Wonder Woman. You could still have that draw and still have the God part. In fact, it would make more sense with the God part. The other thing that I'm sure maybe heard it is Zachary Levi said a lot of stupid stuff on social media before it's being released.
Well, stupid to a certain demographic that we're not a part of. Like the stuff he said, we actually agree with, but other people don't.
Yeah, but the problem is he did say, you don't even want to watch the AR cut. James Gunn's version is better.
Okay, I take that back.
Yeah, that's my issue when he's like, how do you know that's better? We have a very good example of this, by the way, coming up. That's gonna be the shortest discussion of this entire episode. But dude, it's just, I get what he was trying to do. Really, he was trying to kiss up to James Gunn so hopefully he could stay as Shazam when the DCU. That ain't happening.
No.
So, all right. The Flash.
D.
I can compromise on D.
I mean, we could put it in F if you want. Like, I don't think it's utter crap, but it is very low quality. Like, there are some okay, like, Sasha Cali Supergirl, I actually, like, surprisingly enjoyed. Like, I'm going to be so, like, admit it. I actually really liked her as Supergirl.
Batfleck on the motorcycle was dope. When he's off the motorcycle, that's when I got,
The Lasso of Truth scene was total, like, I'm sorry, that is not Bruce. Like, not Bruce.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing said in that last show, Truth Stream, was stupid. I would put it higher because it did canonize ZSJL, but besides that, there's not that much it really contributed.
Like the scene where Bruce is talking to Barry and like they're having the heart to heart, like that's actually a good scene. And they kind of also they nerfed the Man of Steel characters. Like Fiora struggled against Clark. And Batman takes her down with like a single bomb. Like, come on.
That wasn't Fiora, but I understand what you're saying.
But it's still a Kryptonian. It's still a Kryptonian
versus Batman. What? And it's like when, and actually, Droga, a friend of mine from the Nicotina show, did an edit that it's that scene. Batman goes is like grappling to that Kryptonian, but then it cuts to Invincible when Omni-Man grabbed Darkwing and slammed him on the ground. It's like, here's what actually would have happened. Slam.
Yeah, and then the thing is, like, Batfleck might have done better, you know, where it's like revealed. Like, let's say Man of Steel 2, you see some Kryptonians come in. And then it's revealed Batman kept some of the kryptonite. Like, I thought you destroyed it. I lied.
Yeah.
You know, like he has kryptonite knuckles or something. And he's using that to act like he'd actually go toe-to-toe with the Kryptonians.
Yeah. Batfleck, like, I would believe. But
let's be honest, Batfleck wouldn't destroy all. Like, even if he trusts Clark.
He wouldn't. No. Anytime Batman has talked about kryptonite with Clark, he's like, you don't have it, right? That was one of the good parts of Heroes in Crisis when Harley Quinn got Batman the Lasso of Truth somehow, but then she goes, and previous to this, they had a conversation where Clark goes to Bruce and he goes, you don't have kryptonite in your bat belt, do you? He goes, no, of course not. Then as soon as Batman got stuck with the Lasso of Truth, Harley Quinn goes, where's your kryptonite stash? It's on my bat belt.
So it's like, okay. Here's the thing. I can just imagine a scene where it's like, I trust you, Clark. But
there's bound to be more surviving Kryptonians.
Yeah, it's like, you're cool. But like, these people, this is the reason I kept it. And I think Clark, at that point, Clark would be like, okay, fine.
And the problem also with this movie is I have to bring this up, the visual effects. Like the Chrono Ball, what they should have done, because I was re-watching Flash earlier, and here's how I would have done the Chrono Ball. I wouldn't have had CGI recreations of each character. What I would have done is actually like a portal actually opens, kind of like Thanos traveling with the Space Stone, and then you see like a scene from one of the movies. Like you could see Henry Cavill Superman, the Snyder Cut. Christopher Reeve in like Superman 1 or something like that. The point is, you didn't have to CGI recreate these characters. You could have done that
badly.
The point is, it would have been but better than what we got, I think.
Okay, this is what pissed me most off about the movie, is obviously the CGI is bad. Anyone with a functioning pair of eyeballs can see that. The director had the nerve to say, oh, yeah, it's supposed to look like that. Anyone with functioning set of eyeballs can tell that is incomplete CGI. You freaking moron! I want to say other things, but I'm not here.
The thing is, here's how that could have made sense. If in the movie Barry had said, "Oh yeah, I went to this chrono ball thing, and everyone looked like rubbery, and it was all distorted." If they had said that in the movie, it would have still been a crap excuse, but at least he would have told us in the movie.
Like he said, oh yeah, I went in the movie. It looked like a PlayStation 2 cutscene, or it looked like 90 CG, or just something.
Here's the thing, he said, that version of Barry would have said that, actually.
But they might not have been wanting to name drop like PlayStation 2 or whatever. It looked like an early 2000s video game. There, mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah, and at least then you would have said, because I'm sick of directors explaining stuff. Oh yeah, it's because of this. Where was that in the movie?
See, the other problem is there's really no villain up until like the last like 10 minutes where not Savitar, which I'm sorry, he's Savitar.
He's Savitar. That's pretty much Savitar. Stop calling him Dark Flash.
Yeah, it's stupid. He looks exactly like Savitar. He has the same origin story as Savitar, you know, like the variant. We should do an episode of Fixing the Flash. Like, we should do that.
That's going to be next week's episode. That's fantastic. We will do that. Now, I'm going to give you a preview. Here's how I would have done it. One way. Instead of having two Barrys, our DCEU Barry just goes into the Arrowverse and we get a Grant Gustin as the other Flash.
Also, the villain is a reverse Flash played by Anthony Starr.
Yes. By the way, can you imagine Grant Gustin, but with Hollywood level CGI?
No. Oh, I got the scene. So the Flash comes, and it's actually the TV show Flash. But then all of a sudden, a hand comes through, and it's like, nope, we're not dealing with that pretender. And it's the actual reverse Flash.
Yeah. And what's kind of cool, they actually would have set up Grant Gustin being the other Flash better, because remember in the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover when Ezra Miller met Grant Gustin?
Mm-hmm.
They could have harkened back to that. He's like, oh, hey, man, what's up?
They literally could have had that scene, but from Ezra's point of view.
And then he, like, gets stuck there or something like that. There were so many ways that they could have
done it. Oh, my God. Can you imagine, like, just for, like, 20 minutes, they're in the Arrowverse?
Yeah. He's like, Ezra's trying to figure out, like, how this is different. He's like,
Ezra's like, do you have a Batman? No, we have a Batgirl. It's like, oh, my God, I gotta call Ollie, you know.
Who's Ollie? And he goes, oh, yeah,
Green Arrow.
He is our brooding leader. Oh, you mean Batman? No, I mean Green Arrow. Okay. We're Superman.
And then he actually goes to the Arrow Cave. It's like, wait, you have an Arrow Cave? Are you sure you're not Batman? Like, just calling it out.
And then, wait. And then Sesko is like, Batman, that's not a bad name. That would be so good. No. Sesko's like, is he a man that has bat powers? He goes, no, he's just a guy in a suit, in a bat suit that fights crime. Can you imagine that?
And then, okay. So the ending scene, I think we could have done that better. Instead of having George Clooney there, thing is, even if Kevin Conroy, like, he was still alive, but like, he's not recognized. Like, you see George Clooney, you know, like, okay, he's a Batman.
Yeah, Conroy is known for his voice, rightly so, because he's badass.
Personally, I would have had Val Kilmer, but his health wasn't the best. But I'm sorry, Val Kilmer. If it's not Keaton, it's Kilmer. Kilmer was an excellent Batman.
He was good.
Released Schumacher cut.
Honestly, here's the thing. Yeah, he was actually a pretty decent Batman when you see his movie. I'm like, oh, wow, you're not a joke. I actually take the role seriously. I like that.
I will give the movie points for the Eric Stoltz joke. That is like some
That is good. That is good.
That is a deep cut that I appreciate.
Do you know what almost happened? That roommate that had the thigh tattoo, that was originally supposed to be Booster Gold.
Hmm.
It would have been odd. I do like the Tamara Morrison cameo where he's like, is your wife the Queen of Atlantis? No. I love that. That was good. See, there were some great parts of the Flash.
Even better is he hangs up. It's like, all right, who's ready to watch Star Wars?
Yeah. And it's like a completely different cast.
No. Like in the background, you can see he's watching Revenge of the Sith. And it's like the scene of Anakin going up, you know, like you can see in the background, like that would have been such a great joke.
Yeah, I know. But see, again, that's why I enjoy The Flash, because the only place of The Flash, there was more stuff that I enjoyed than I didn't enjoy. Is it perfect? There's only one movie on this that is perfect.
He says, all right, let's watch Book of Boba Fett. I heard.
Yeah, he's like, Arthur's father's an actor? I didn't know that.
No, I wouldn't go that far. But anyway. What I would have done is like, all right, let's watch Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
You know, because Nicole Kidman was in Moulin Rouge.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so again, that's why I've been very clear. I do enjoy The Flash because there's more I like in it than I dislike in it. The VFX is bad. Like the baby scene was kind of like bad looking, but there was more fun to be had in the movie. That's my point with that. So yeah. That's why I enjoy it. But yeah, I could definitely see that. Wonder Woman 1984. Oh boy.
F.
It's not an utter crap, but yeah, it's an F tier for me.
Like, there's some cool parts of it. Like, I like armor. the early Cheetah scenes. I thought were cool. I thought Cheetah was a great villain for her in this movie. Some of the visuals were good. I'm kind of scraping the barrel here, but it's
there,
not.
There was too many crap. Logical leaps, like Steve Trevor knowing how to pilot a fighter jet. That's one thing. The fighter jets being fueled at the Smithsonian.
They should have just had it be like a World War, like a P-51 Mustang or something. Like, even if it was a World War II plane, okay, which yeah, but it's still a prop plane. So he could. I think there's enough of a gap, like the gap in like skills. Is small enough that like you could assume he could figure it out because it's still a prop plane. Yes, because prop planes fly very differently from jets.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what you could if you had done that, I would have believed it. But again, taking this step
it's
further,
enough where even if it's like there's no way a World War One pilot could pilot a World War II plane, it's close enough that you can at least it's believable enough.
But is it fueled enough to get to Egypt?
That part is
and again even, the mall yeah go ahead.
I would have had a line. It's like, all right, we're gonna have to stop somewhere because this thing had just enough fuel for like one flyby.
Exactly. Or and the other stuff that I didn't like is that a few of the like running scenes were kind of stupid and they looked kind of bad.
I had this technique to make things invisible, but I've never used it till now.
I made a coffee cup vanish.
Or like, here's golden armor. It's a really rare artifact. I found it off screen. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, and apparently that's where she found her sword and shield from BVS, because if you actually look in the disc and like the background, they are kind of there. They're wrapped up, but you can like infer that that's how she got the ZSJL sword. But it's like, and the golden armor looked cool. It's a cool design and everything. It's just then it gets like trashed and wasted. And the thing is, the biggest thing they wasted really was Maxwell Lord.
No, the biggest waste was Linda Carter.
Yeah, because They could.
We know they're not going anywhere with that. They knew they weren't going anywhere with that. Why the frick would you bring in Linda Carter, not even have her meet Wonder Woman? Like, come on.
That would have been cool. At least have them meet, like, as a fun cameo. Like, I'm sure if Christopher Reeve were still alive, they would have tried to find a scene where he meets Henry.
Like, what I would have done is, like, say, oh, I'm searching for Astoria, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then have a scene where, like, she gets like, after, let's say after the White House fight. You know, she gets knocked out. She wakes up. She's in a cave. And then she meets Astoria, Linda Carter. And then she gives her the golden armor. It's like a literal passing of the torch.
Or, I'm going to play off that. Keep it the way it is. And here's the way I would do it. So she renounces her wish and Steve dies, but Diana's like distraught again because she loses Steve. I know we're retreading old territory, but bear with me. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't think that she could do it. Then Asteria shows up and goes, hey, no, you can do this. I've survived here. You can handle this. This world is worth fighting for. See, at least you had that.
Like, at least have a passing of the torch scene. Like, come mm-hmm. on. Don't tell me people wouldn't have loved, like, a scene where they chat and whatnot. And she literally gives the golden armor.
And
like,
she says, you are a Wonder Woman.
And she says, this is your world, Diana. Keep it safe.
Yeah, exactly. So there. But the one thing I do like about the wish thing at the end, when everyone's getting their, like, wishes, this is around the time that Bruce Wayne's parents are killed. So you got to imagine he probably wished for them to be alive, and then he had to undo that wish. So that's kind of cool.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Bruce would do that, because remember in BVS when he said, oh, you can fix your parents? And he's like, no.
As a kid. Because this is Bruce as a kid, though.
But the thing is, were his parents dead by that time?
Yes, they were. If you look at relatively the timeline of when it happens in BVS, it's around this time period. His parents would have been killed.
All right.
So there is that. Now, we get to the easiest movie to rank on this. Zack Snyder's Justice League. This is the one that you were trying to get me to put in S. Shall I?
Actually put it in other crap. I'm kidding.
I'm sorry, we lost connection to Nick. He's not on Comics League anymore. Just kidding. Yeah, what can't we say about the Snyder Cut? Because it's incredible. There were some parts where, like, the VFX is kind of wonky, like when Lex is standing in that pool in the very beginning of the movie, and it looks obviously CGI, but I attribute that to working under pandemic conditions, because if you look at the movie, the VFX shots that were clearly done during the pandemic actually look pretty good, like the Flash going back in time.
I mean, like, we all know Zack knows his CG, so.
But, and that's the thing, this movie featured, like, CGI replacement of actors. Why did this look better than The Flash? I will answer that question. Because Zack was a painter, and he understands how to light a scene. And in The Flash, unfortunately, I think they had a major issue with the lighting. Because if you light something a certain way, you can hide a lot of VFX imperfections. Do you agree with me on that?
I feel like a lot of you see a lot of directors where it's like Gareth Edwards films look amazing for like half the budget. Is you need to prepare your shot for CG, you know, like the lighting, the staging, even the costumes. Like, we all know the story from Justice League where Zack had the Superman costume a certain way so that if he wanted to turn it black in CG, he could. And it was because Zack was mindful of that it looks so good. And there are directors who understand CGI very well. Like, for example, Gareth Edwards. Their movies look so much better for, like, less of a budget. Rogue One, yeah. Godzilla 2014.
But on that's why if you look at the suit in Justice League, it's super bright. because Zach intentionally made that suit really had them make the suit super bright, so it'd be easier to invert the colors and make it the black suit. When you see that thing is the black suit, you wouldn't know it watching the movie. Someone actually has to tell you it's that good.
Yeah.
It's like the moment I saw that and figured that out, because I thought it was going to be like, okay, there's going to be some scenes where like it's very obviously CGI. Uh-uh, it's not. But so that's our DC tier list. So to review before we wrap up, in S tier, we have Aquaman and Zack Snyder's Justice League, deservedly so. Mm-hmm. And by the way, since you put Aquaman at the S minus, I'm just going to move it this way.
Okay, no argument there.
And the A tier, we have Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, the Ultimate Edition, I'm just going to say that, and Wonder Woman. B tier, Shazam. C tier, Blue Beetle, Suicide Squad, Black Adam, and Shazam Fury of the Gods. D tier, The Flash. F tier, Wonder Woman 1984. Utter crap, Justice League, The Suicide Squad, the James Gunn movie, Birds of Prey, and Peacemaker.
Okay, let's just make a prediction and we'll see if we're right. Where do you think Lost Kingdom is going to go on this list? We are predicting. We may be wrong,
I think it's
right.
Going to go, because it's the same team, relatively. And as long as they don't like severely pun intended, crap the bed, I'm going to say it's going to be anywhere from from A to B, I would say.
Yeah. They're very clearly limiting Amber Heard's time in this. You look at the trailers, like he's barely in like a split second shot at most. And like you said, yeah, it's the same creative people. And if you just look at the trailer, it just seems like they're just doing more Aquaman story. Like, this does have the potential to be another S-tier movie. I'll grant it that, but...
Yeah, I'm trying to be conservative on my rating. I don't want to overrate it. I'm trying to be like... Let me put it this way. From what I've seen so far, I think it could be good. At the very least,
Could be good. I don't think it's going to be anything less than a C tier.
Exactly. Unless it's like completely like, unless they completely like fell asleep during the production, I don't think it's going to be anywhere below F. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, and since we know that like Jason Momoa is secretly based, I think that might have prevented some stuff. You know, like you heard the story of him coming to set dressed as Jack Sparrow. Because he does not like her.
It comes across in their performance, because that's the one ding I have on Aquaman. They have zero chemistry.
Do you remember the trial where they had Walter Hermada on the stand? He said like, yeah, she wasn't working out.
He said we were going to recast her, but I think it was James Wan out in Defender.
It gets worse.
What?
Elon threatened to sick his lawyers on Warner Brothers. Like, well, she cried to her ex, like, which, let's be honest, is a very Amber Heard move.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so that's why I think that it's now Superman Legacy is a different story, because honestly, because it's written and directed by James Gunn and he can't help himself, I think the best it could be so far is a C, from what I hear. I need more information, but I'm trying to be a little generous.
My optimistic, I'm going to try and be optimistic here. I'm going, like, I want to think he's going to treat this like doing a Guardians of the Galaxy film. So he's going to be more in that headspace of like wholesome, you know, like that kind of thing, instead of the baby diaper party, which he's actually had those. So I'm being optimistic here. I could be wrong. So I'm going to say B is where Superman Legacy is going to go.
Okay. I'll compromise on a B minus. Because again, it's just, he's relying too much on nostalgia. So that's really where I fall on that. So that's our DCEU tier list. Let us know in the comments or in the emails at comicsleague@gmail.com. Or it's in the description of this YouTube episode and Spotify episode. Let us know if you agree with our tier list and if you would like us to do an MCU one or like a Phase 5 one, which that would be interesting. But just let us know. And stay tuned for next week's episode where we fix the Flash. That's going to be a really good one.
Stay toasty, everyone.
And stay heroic, everyone. And I will see you in the next one. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.